Welcome in, everybody. It is inside the Gamecocks portion of the live Gamecock Super Stream. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax. He is Matt Anderson, and JC Sherbert is around here somewhere, but he'll be back in just a second. We did have a long segment, probably a bathroom break in there. Ah, here's JC. Welcome in, JC.
Look, it's the man. Show. Yeah, we just run out of hours these days. This is Inside the Gamecocks Show, the abbreviated Friday version, because Jack was so fun. And
yeah, I didn't want to music and cut that off. I was like, no, it was wonderful. It's substantive conversation.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But Matt Anderson's in with us on Fridays. We always enjoy Matt, host of the Late Night Gamecock Show, and our one of our writers at thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com. Go check his stuff out, and we'll get right to it, man. You know, without giving away the farm, like, you know, I thought your article on Jaden Sellers this morning was kind of a numerical way to back up what we've been hearing about him at practice.
Yeah, the article was fun to write. It's fun to go into, especially a kid from Florence. You know, Florence, South Carolina, is my hometown, so obviously love writing good, positive stories. But he was a kid that, you know, was hurt, couldn't play a lot to start the season. The Gamecocks probably had a need for him. He could have helped earlier, but once he broke onto the scene, he had multiple big games, and it's one of the things where you can't just doubt chemistry. Like, the chemistry that he has with Lenoris is insane. And the fact that he's been catching balls from Lenoris since he could probably catch a football, you know, they're going to be on the same page. And what you really need in Kendall Brown's offense is that explosive down the field receiver that Nick Harbor can be, but you also have to have a really good slot receiver that can take pressure away from the downfield shots and make people miss in a phone booth. And on Jaden Sellers, 22 receptions last year on 29 targets, he caught 78% or 80% of the balls. He made 9 tacklers miss. And that's what you have to do. It's not always 40 yards downfield and a touchdown. Sometimes it's stringing drives together, setting the defense up for something different later. And I just think Jaden Sellers can be a key to unlock it all.
The last 2 years, too, even in 24, South Carolina's receivers just did not do much after the catch as far as being elusive and things like that. I don't know what the deal was. I mean, they were kind of young last year, but Jaden's one that can. Jaden's one that's got that little wiggle to him. If people would ask me what was kind of missing from Mazio Bennett's game last year, it was that. And Mazio wasn't extremely elusive his first year, but I've seen in high school he was. I felt like he would get comfortable and take that next step, and he just didn't. Nick Harbor's not going to be that elusive. Nick Harbor needs to find space, get upfield. He's just not that kind of guy. I tell you, someone who is, though, and Matt, I should have shared the film with you because I've rewatched it, and I just realized Sequel Patterson on his high school film does stuff that if I were, let's just say I understand why they had him 18th in the country. And this was his final year film. His other film was good too. His elusiveness and the way he can make people not tackle him, the quick feet, the quick twitchy athleticness. Then you hear, I think he's kind of one of the forgotten guys in the class because he reclassifies, right? So he's really 2026. He's supposed to be in this class, right? Just like Donovan Murphy and Jordan Gidron. Then during his recruitment, South Carolina was kind of losing play. It was like when Smoke Matthews was starting to trend to Texas, and that offensive lineman from North Carolina ended up, Shabazz, went to Tennessee. So Carolina was losing some recruits, and they weren't expecting to. And then Sequel just committed, and it was like, oh, okay, yeah, we got Sequel Patterson. They were supposed to. And then he doesn't come in until the summer, so you don't lump him with the occurrences and because we don't have the runway of, you know, him at practice. But everybody you talk to that's watched him play at the high school levels, like, this guy's not just, he's special. As we talk, I don't know if you guys talked about it today, but it was on the Insiders Forum on the Big Spur and Gamecock Central. Wes put it up. He mentioned in a thread with his prediction, somebody mentioned that he thought Darius Gray would start this year at some point, at some position. because he's just better than the people they've got. Sometimes you get freshmen that are. Even at Ohio State and Alabama, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a bunch of receivers. I hate to throw another log on the fire. This guy may just be better than some of the other guys just because of what he does. You know, the difference between his high school film, which you would put in an elite category, and the high school film of, say, a Donovan Murphy, which you would put in semi-elite category, right? Donovan Murphy absolutely is a high four-star, top 100 player in the country, a special player. But he doesn't do what Patterson does on film. And so that's, bro, that you know, just waking up to that notion, you know, because I mean, some people probably don't even know, forgot he was on the team. You know, we just didn't hear from him because of his recruitment and all that. So I don't know. But McKellar,
well, he was freaky, man. I saw him in 7-on-7 camps over the years, and Sequel was always a freak. And it was, you know, when we talked to his coaches and, you know, people that are around the program while we're at camp, you know, I'm talking about their high school programs, you know, the coaches that played against him, the 7-on-7 before. I mean, he would play offense and defense, and everything was he could be a potential All-American on defense or offense, but if you're not putting the ball in this kid's electric hands, you're making a mistake. And look, Jaden Sellers, don't sleep on him playing outside some as well. He played predominantly in the slot last year. And Sequel, you know, he's 5'10", 5'11". You do see outside receivers that aren't 6 foot, 6 foot three that get up and down the field and make mismatches occur. So if Sequel is ready to go at some point during this season, you maybe can see a breakout like Jaden had towards the end of the season, where now you have a lot of electricity on the field in the pass catching area. And with Mazio, you know, the reason I have Jaden ahead of Mazio is not because I think Mazio is a bad prospect or anything like that, but Jaden's ability after the catch is special. I mean, he's going to get you 7, 8, 9 yards after the catch almost virtually every time he touches the ball. And Sequel can do that as well. And what I've seen him do just at the high school level. But there's potential for just a very good wide receiver room, and everyone runs their own race, is ready when they are. And I'm not predicting that the starting three, you know, the four or five wide receivers that play the most snaps against Kent State through Mississippi State are going to be the receivers that are playing the most when the Clemson game rolls around.
Yeah, Nitro Tuggle, one of the things I love about him is after yards after catch. I think he's a physical tackle breaker for a receiver, mm-hmm. and all that. Extremely elusive. That's one of the best things Nitro does. His ability to make people miss is not at Sequel's level. I don't know that I've seen that out of Jaden Sellers to that extent either. I'm not saying Sequel will start over any of them. I don't even know if he'll play, you know, because there's a lot more to it than just, hey, I'm good at this at the high school level. But this may be a situation. And you know, look, man, it's nothing for freshman receivers to go out and play. We've seen it through the years here and everywhere else. But I just keep an eye on him. That's one I'm curious to see. How many and look, opening against two teams that you should beat handily, that means at some point he'll get on the field and some point he'll get the ball in his hands, and we may all see something that's special. Maybe not. I'm not trying to hype it. I've been hyping different receivers for.
Well, the other thing I'll tell you about Nitro as well, if we're going to talk about Tuggle, is his contested catch rate last year was over 50%. And like NFL level at the college, you know, college player going to the NFL level, they're looking for like 44 to 46%. And last year, Tuggle was at 53.8%. So I mean, you're going to need that too. The go up and get it guy that can make a catch where it's hard, and that can keep chains moving as well. So they have a plethora of talent. They got to get all the talent working, you know, rowing the same direction, but. I just really, you know, we're in the kind of prediction season part of, you know, football, and it Lenore Sellers has no excuse not to be pretty good this year if the offensive line holds up with the talent he has to throw the ball to.
Absolutely. McKellar Enterprises chat box. We're going to get to that. Ethan asks, does Pike start opposite Gabriel Brownlow Dindy? I think right now it's Tomiwa Adorajaye. I would be surprised. Right now, I mean, with the way things are now. Now, look, Travion Robertson is going to play all of them and start the ones he feels are most deserving. I don't want to say that starting on the D tackle is largely symbolic, but I think there's going to be a very little separation. There'll be some separation, obviously, but little separation between like the top five defensive tackles. I hope there is some separation because Travion was talking like he didn't really want separation. He wants all of them to be good. I hope there is some separation because, like, so Taka, Hemingway, and Boogie Huntley had good years. DeAndre Jules did too when he was in there in 24. But TJ Sanders was a cut above. And I don't know that it's realistic that you're going to have six guys playing at that type of level. So hopefully there is some separation. Michael mentioned Troy Pikes. I think Troy Pikes is going to play a ton. And he could start. I mean, he came on at the end of last year. I know they really like him. He's athletic. He's going to be pretty good. Bruin mentions we're literally sitting here this time last year worried about defensive tackle going into the offseason after this coming season. I know. It's the beauty of the transfer portal, right?
That's right.
Well, you talk about the snaps there, JC. And in an ideal world, you know, do you want Monkel Goodwine and Nick Barrett to each play over 500 defensive snaps at defensive tackle? Probably not. They're going to wear down over the course of the game. You kind of want, you know, six to eight guys to all get in the 200 to 300 range of snaps. That way they're fresh and they can be most effective. But if there are people that separate, they're going to play more snaps. But, you know, yeah, that's kind of marrying the two ideas.
Yeah. If they're not, you know, if they're not, you want them gassed. You want your absolute best to be out there in the fourth quarter fresh at D tackle. But if they're all making plays and they're not, you don't lose anything. You know what Brad Lawing did when he was here? They would lose something when they'd sub on the detail, but he would do what I call steal snaps. Like he just had a gift for it, man. You'd look out there, Carolina's defense, you know, playing some team during the Spurrier era, and Aldrick Fordham and Byron Gerardo, before Gerardo was a starter, are just out there at D tackle, and like Travion and Ajiboy, whoever was, or Kelsey Quarles, they weren't. Then by the fourth quarter, though, those starters were out there, and it was a very masterful how they did it. If you can do that and not have that much drop off in talent, more power to you. I mean, that's probably one of the reasons Georgia was pretty good on defense a few years ago is because that Jalen Carter was not a starter on the 2021 Georgia defense. So crazy, huh? Michael says Lewis Solomon and Anthony Addison get in the two deep. Could be on Jalewis. You know, he's healthy and back, and hopefully, you know, he makes a move. I know they like him. And Anthony Addison, I think, will be in the two deep at edge, especially if Dylan's not back by, like, Mississippi State. Anthony could start. I mean, you could start. You could see them going the route of not going to start a true freshman at edge in the opener. And Addison and Herring are your two starters, and then Julian Walker rotates in, or heck, maybe my man George Wilson will get in there.
Yeah. Hoping to see George Wilson out there because he was, before the injury last season in the preseason, was expected to come in and make an impact.
Yeah, especially the pass rushing department. Yeah. And he's he was at practice, no problem. He and Quay Dodd both at edge. So I know Deion Barnes is probably happy, guys, because the only people healthy were Herring, Drew Collins, Anthony Addison, and one more at edge. Who else was it? I don't remember which one. Other one was out there. Oh, Julian Walker. And you know, so he had four defensive ends. So that's you know. Anyway, Harrison.
That probably said, helped Julian Walker kind of, you know, in that sense.
I think Addison, Julian Walker, Drew Collins, who's a young player, it's Kelby's brother, came in from Arkansas State, benefited immensely from that. And I think Caleb Herring did too. You know, Caleb Herring was kind of a backup at Tennessee. He did some good things, had his best year last year. But I think just rep after rep after rep with Deion Barnes at South Carolina, the feedback from Barnes was good about those guys against the run, which always concerns me. I think it's a pain in the butt to practice without those guys. Kobe Saki Pry was missing too. But I think it may benefit those younger guys, especially Julian Walker. And I think between spring practice, just from what I saw today, pictures wise, between spring practice and now, he's even more impressive physically, guys.
Mm. Right.
Mm. I mean, this guy, it's hard for everybody to kind of get fired up about him, I think, because 2 years ago, Dylan was so good as a true freshman. And you're like, lightning can't strike twice, right, on that. Right. I don't know. Julian Walker, I think, is going to be a big part of this football team this year. If he, you know, of course, you got to stay healthy and all that kind of stuff. Michael asked, how long before Current starts? If it's your gut feeling on that, maybe mid-season. Maybe, you know, the best case scenario would be for David Busey to hold on to the job, because that would mean David Busey's playing really well, you know, in my opinion.
So, well, you talk about that, JC, and there's a couple. I'm looking at the schedule right now. I mean, you have some inflection points in the upcoming season when you, if you're going to make a change, you know, obviously you have the first three games of the season, one of them against an SEC team. But then you have Alabama, Kentucky at Florida. There's a bye week, right? So you have kind of like that first three, four games. Then you have the bye week to, you know, reassess things. So, I mean, I think, you know, as crazy as it sounds, like, I'm not saying that this is going to be the case with Dylan Stewart. But, like, even if he was held out through the bye week, like, it shouldn't be, you know, a worst case scenario thing. I mean, you want him at the end of the season when you can pile up wins, right? So, I mean, his health is huge. But, like, for Current to get on the field, I mean, he's going to play against Mississippi State. What is he going to put on film when he's in the game? I mean, starting's one thing, but how many snaps is he going to play? And you can say that for the same thing we talked about with Sequel Patterson earlier. You know, he's going to get opportunity. There's no redshirt anymore. What's the point?
They don't. All right, so safety's a lot like linebacker. They don't necessarily rotate those guys a whole bunch. Or in the past they hadn't, but maybe it's because they hadn't had anybody. I don't know. But Currents, and then Kendall Daniels is there too on the other side. I think, you know, Peyton Williams looks like that next senior defensive back that plays his best at the end. But we'll see. It's a fascinating position. So to answer your question about Currents, I wouldn't put a number on it. Could be game one. He could beat him out. I mean, he may just, you know, him and Darius Gray, Julian Walker, they just may be like, well, these are the best we've got as freshmen. And again, don't take that as a slight to the other guys. Lots of schools that recruit at a high level year after year start true freshmen. It just, I mean, there's a handful in college football, or more than a handful, maybe a dozen, two dozen. That, I mean, Malachi Toney last year helped Miami almost win a national championship. He was a three-star true freshman from Fort Lauderdale.
Well, so, one more thing on Currents, JC, too, is that if he can do what Busey can do, then Busey's won the job. Where's the difference going to come? Is he showing something in practice that, well, he has a link that Busey doesn't have and he can act on it, or he can bat more balls down, he can get more interceptions, turn him back upfield? Like, where can he change a game? And yeah, once a player can change a game, they're going to be on the field.
It is a two-step process to beating him out. The first step is assignments. You know, because at safety, you have to know what you're doing, because you can get just – obliterated.
You can get right. Yeah.
If you don't. So the first step is Xavier Currents able to go out there and execute and not screw up and not have mistakes at the same level that David Busey is? And is he able to tackle and cover and do that at the same level? You know, okay. So then once you get even there, unless Busey starts to slip, performance wise, like Busey starts to not know the defense, assignments busting, and, you know, can't cover, can't tackle, all that. So once you get to that point, then it becomes about who is going to make more plays, who can make game changing plays just because of, like you said, their length, their ball skills, their instincts, their athleticism. And you know, then if it is Currents, then that's when you make the move. To go with a guy that's, you know, they're even in every other way, but Xavier gives you just a little bit more. It's the same conversation we've had when we talked about, can you play in the SEC and you check that box? And there's another level. Can you make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
Can you make, there's lots of guys that can play, but you want difference makers. Good question there. So rolling on. Michael says how nickel will play out. Could Vicari end up moving there? I think corner is very deep with talent. No, I think he's going to be the corner. And I think your starting corners are Judge Collier and Vicari Swain. Nickel is going to be a battle between Quasheed Scott from Kentucky. And right now, Gerald Kilgore is leading that one. Jaquel Hallman is back, and he's also in the mix there. But that's going to kind of be the nickel. I think, you know, behind Vicari and Judge at nickel, DeMarcus Leach is a player to watch. And then the two true freshmen, Tristan Lewis and Kazi Barnes, they're going to have to play, you know, and go out there. So we'll see. When Bruin was talking about me freaking out about the kicking game, he just said score touchdowns, it won't matter. I like that.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
And then just go for two as well. You know, if you keep scoring, go for two.
Oh, my goodness.
Michael says being engaged for a year before the wedding is the smartest thing you could do. I was engaged for like 18 months. Very
Yeah, same here. It was a long engagement. And
happy anniversary to Bruin Nation.
Yeah, that's right. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Remember the Flintstone? Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. going on and on and on. Ethan says the Sellers connection was evident last year. Ethan also says the key to Harbor having a good year is by having all the other receivers stepping up in the shorter game. I agree. That may not have been a truer statement in the chat box about the receivers in about a year.
Right. Yeah. Because if you can draw the focus off of him in such a fashion that you have to account for somebody else on the field, then, I mean, that's when it takes over, right? That's when the nine route works. That's when, you know, some long, you know, cross the field pattern doesn't have him bracketed. What you need.
And the thing about, I don't think you have to bracket Nick Harbor. You just have to let him not get behind you.
Yeah.
And not let him get in space where he can turn up field like he did against A&M. But I think teams are probably going to do it because they look at the scout and they see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to be worried about him. And so if you're overly, you know, then that's football. If you're, this is like with Dylan Stewart, you're overly worried about Dylan Stewart, the other guy's going to benefit. So you need to be good at those other positions. But I think that's been missing from this offense, the shorter passing game, really since 2023. Mm. You know, Dowell had to throw it every down in 23 almost sometimes, and they had a pretty good little short stuff. But I'm with you. They have too many good receivers not to have that, and Kendall Brown's going to do that anyway. Quantrill says Jaden has a different gear than Mazio. He does. He's a little different player. Ethan says, Bruce says, I'm surprised Jaden isn't returning punts.
I think
Vicari Swain.
He was just hurt too. You know what I mean? Like he wasn't going to get that job, and then Vicari took it, and he did Vicari things. Yeah. So maybe next year.
Ethan's assuming the starting receivers Harbor, Nitro, and Sellers. I think right now, so I think Harbor and Sellers are safe picks. The third guy, if we're just doing three starting receivers, Nitro is in that hunt. Donovan Murph is in that hunt. DJ Black is in that hunt. You know, who else? I don't know.
I mean, the way it is right now, I feel like it's just that second outside receiver. Like, who's it going to be?
Yeah.
And what complements the skill set best? And knowing the playbook.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and DJ Black's the leader in the clubhouse right now. It's not that Nitro and Murph, because everybody freaks out a little bit about that, because Nitro Tuggle was a top 100 recruit. Donovan Murph was a top 100 recruit. DJ Black was a walk-on from Chapman, whose best college season so far has been at Limestone, who caught 22 passes at UCF last year. So there's one of those stories that may emerge. Maybe not. Maybe not, though, because if Murph and – I mean, they're just going to play the best ones. But I'm curious to see how that works out, because I like all three of those guys. You know, I thought Black may be like a deep ball dude. They sneak out there and do that, but apparently it's a complete receiver. I mean, it's crazy. Eden says, where'd Malik Clark go? And is he on a milk carton? No, Malik Clark was really good the first half of spring, and then he got banged up and missed the rest of it. But they, he's good. He's good at going up and getting the ball. So I don't know where he factors in, but that's, I don't know where a lot of these guys factor in. So, Harris said, don't sleep on SQL. Tri-State says, I think SQL will ease the pain and not really remember Brian Rowe Jr. Yeah, somebody's making a big deal about that on X because the UCLA coach praised him.
I'm not convinced on Brian Rowe Jr., not just because he transferred out of South Carolina, but he did not have good metrics last year when you look at, you know, the grades and all of that. And when you – he's got to start loving football and taking it seriously. And he has untapped potential, and he's still got to fill out more too. But he can flash for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great athlete. I was really excited about him as you saw all these. And he left because he was kind of frustrated with the offense. Never mind. They're going to have a new offense.
That's going to be different.
Michael said, don't forget about Nitro. Yeah, and Quantrell mentions Lenoris wanted Nitro Tuggle. That's important. Yep. Cogweed said, did I miss JC showing the scumbag card collector? I decided, all right, so I'm just, Phil, can you give the link to that Instagram account in the chat box?
Yes, yeah.
All right, so I'm not going to play it on the show, but I talked it up yesterday, Matt. There's somebody called Scumbag Card Collector on Instagram, and he collects sports cards. I'll just give an example. He's got an Aaron Hernandez collection. He's got like O.J. Simpson. He bought a 200 card sleeve of Ray Rice. I mean, and he's got this thick Boston accent, and he got the Holy Grail, in the mail, the other day, and Phil, all right, so let's hit a break real quick. Do we have a break to hit?
Oh yeah, we can take one. Yeah.
We'll go overtime maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Okay,
that's fun. Yeah.
Is that cool? And I'm gonna send this to Matt. And Matt, you watch this, and
I'll watch it during the break.
And during you'll the see break, why? Yeah,
you're gonna see why. It's on Instagram, and then we'll be back after this to discuss it.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here. I just rewatched what we were talking about.
Bro, put it in the chat box, dude. Everybody,
this right. is, I'll put it in there, I think. This is the link to the actual video itself. That way, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, dude, I was like, I just randomly came upon it one night, and I was like, what's this? And then I didn't even know Scumbag Card Collector was a thing.
No.
And then I saw that, and I it's very rare I just laugh almost uncontrollably, and I like belly, and I was like, wow, it's unbelievable.
It's just terrible.
Phil's going to put that in. It's just you guys, if you want to look at it, just go.
Yeah, it's in there.
Scumbag Card Collector. It's not like not safe for work, but when you see it, like, it's just terrible.
It's not like, it's not like pornographic or anything. It's just a subject. It's like
shouldn't exist.
Yeah, and you have to understand the context. This guy, he's scumbag. He collects cards of scumbags, you know. O.J. Simpson, Ray Rice, Aaron Hernandez, all these people. He had Tanya Harding on his podcast for an interview. Tanya Harding. By the way, Tanya Harding, I used to think she was somewhat attractive, but not anymore. How old is she now? 70?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she's, yeah.
I guess she is. She looks good for 70. Anyway, Mr.
I mean, what an interesting concept. Like, somebody just thought about that. Yeah, they really got a card shop.
I thought
like,
about it. I really,
like, these cards are free. Yeah, I see why.
My question is, who's selling what he bought? Is my question. When it's in that condition with the, anyway, I got to quit talking about it because everybody, let's talk football. Everybody in the chat box can do that. Anyway, because we have an audience. Mr. Boogle asked if Duckworth gets some playing time this year. Probably not without injury. Now, could Kendall Briles run him out there and do something sometime? Yeah. I think he'll play the first couple of games if Carolina takes care of business. Quantrell's a player comparison. Keldrick Falk played at Auburn is the Julian Walker player comparison. Billy, who forgot that we're now a three-hour show yesterday, says that Beamer goes 6-6. I think he is gone. I'm going to quote Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood here. I don't want to talk about such things.
Yeah, right. Don't
want to. Seriously, guys. I mean, you know, can we all know Beamer's got to win.
Yeah.
I think we talked all, every time I talked all offseason about it, you know, I don't think there's necessarily a number because it kind of depends on how you arrive at that number in a lot of ways. But
I saw this the other day. It was, if you were guaranteed to take a 1-11 season, like you're guaranteed to do it, you can only win one game on your schedule. Which one would you want to win? And everyone was like, my rival. Like, I want them to be the team that lost to us that went 1-11.
I would say Towson, because I think they would have to cancel the football program. There would be some serious, serious. I mean, that's one of those losses that stays with you for a while. I doubt it. Nick says, I hope the defense plays faster and more aggressive since there's more experience in the front seven. Maybe more defensive scores like 2024 because of it. Plausible. Very plausible. But Billy said they lost too many games they should have won last season and got too close in the first quarter. If the offensive line can block at least 50% better than last year, they have to catch the ball. Sellers is going to have a breakout year at receiver. Sfern says, are you guys still firmly in wait and see mode on the offensive line? Yep. I don't do firmly in wait and see, you know, I don't know. I'm not in firmly, maybe I said firmly in wait and see mode. I'm just wait and see mode to me is kind of negative. Like I doubt it. Like it's a doubtful thing. What I say is maybe it means the same thing. Maybe it's talked different. The offensive line is an issue until it isn't.
Yeah, and I would say that whether it was this offensive line, last year's offensive line, 10 years ago, offensive line, I'm waiting to see every year for every team in the country.
Billy said, I still am on the wait and see on the offensive line. Our center sucked. I've got good news for you, Billy.
That's right.
He's at Purdue now.
And you should see an immediate impact of that move.
Gamecocks traded Nitro Tuggle and Hank Purvis for Jatavius Shivers and Boaz Stanley. See who gets
Purdue got fleeced. They're going to win national. They're going to win championships because if you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
Go to Indiana.
Yeah, listen, that AD believes in that trade.
My God, dude. I don't think Purdue's won a national championship in basketball either, have they? No,
they lost.
That was final game a couple years. I don't know. Indiana's won how many national championships in basketball? Two.
Purdue has three official NCAA sanctioned team national championships, according to Google's AI. Women's golf in 2010, women's basketball in 1999, and men's golf in 1961.
All right, so Kel Question. I've driven through West Lafayette, Indiana more times than I ever thought I would in my life because that's how you get back home. How are they good at golf?
Long time ago.
That was 61, right? Oh,
never mind.
Yeah.
This guy played at South Point with Stephon SPH. How does Jazavian compare to Stephon? Stephon played quarterback for us and has crazy twitch and athleticism. Very similar high school paths. Jazavian's about 3 inches taller, longer kind of guy. In college, Jazavian is a safety. Stephon obviously was a corner. I'd really have to dig into Jazavian a little bit on that. Probably right now, when I compared them coming out of high school, Stephon was like extremely technically sound, like tackling, coverage, hips, where to play the ball. Jazavian is a little bit more, I guess, flashy, but a little less disciplined. But it's, there's not that much difference in those categories. I'm just trying to kind of point out the difference. So, yeah, Quantrill looked up scumbag card collectors, Justin Tucker, Brett Favre, and Ray Rice.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg,
brother. Rockweed wasn't prepared for the reveal of his new acquisition, were you?
No.
Nobody was.
Ghost Flame was like, that's hilarious. Isn't it, dude? That was crazy, man. I was like, that's why I've been talking about it. Michael Ray Lewis Petrino. Okay, so what it is, everybody on the chat box, so it's an oil painting of Jerry Sandusky.
Yes.
That's numbered and signed. And I want it.
You know what he got in trouble for, and that's what's depicted on the picture.
Well,
he's there with a
talk. He is there with children.
A bunch of kids. That.
Yes, he is there with children.
A bunch of teenagers.
It's not graphic.
I didn't know what to think. Because he was like the Holy Grail. I was like, well, what is he doing? And I looked at it, I was like, oh, my dude. So my question is, who's selling it? Where did he buy it from? He's like, I didn't even know this guy had prints or cigs. Unbelievable. Michael says if they don't start 4-1, they'll be fire beamer talk. Probably because nobody wants to lose to Mississippi State or Kentucky. I mean, I think they can handle it if you lose to Bama. So, anyway, Ed says, yeah, people are bringing a Bobby Petrino card. We need to get him one.
Yeah.
Ethan saw a custom Oscar Pistorius card.
The OJ game used glove is really funny.
The OJ game used glove. Dimitri asked if DQ coming back can happen. Beamer said they're in a holding pattern on that. University of South Carolina doesn't. Baseball's trying to get some guys in because the rule with the court ruling, they said all the portal rules and stuff are still in place. So baseball has a better chance of getting that guy in than football. I think some people like the Indiana kid coming back. I think they're just going to sue in a local court, get an injunction. But I don't know. Oh, by the way, Cocky was inducted into the National Mascot Hall of Fame. Yeah. Didn't we look that up? And isn't that in Indiana, Phil?
Yes, I believe it is in Indiana.
It's in Hammond, Indiana, where the Bears are moving.
He was inducted along with four other mascots, one of whom was Mrs. Met.
Mrs. Met?
Yeah. I wonder if Mr. Met is already in.
Gotta be. Gotta be.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. Ghost Flame says the opportunity is too good to talk about the negatives right now. Let's be hopeful, trust the process, and or else. Bobby, Purdue grad, my man, says Purdue Pete can swing them sticks. Get off his tail. See him out there golfing. Oh, man. Quantrell says, I wish that anything that's not fair in my life, I could just sue and get an injunction. Yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking.
What a life.
Some politicians are like, these athletes are exploited and all that. I'm like, they're exploited. They're all making a ton of money now.
They
get treated like
kids. I volunteer as tribute.
Yeah. I mean, and then... And then if something doesn't work out, they have a lawyer ready to go to sue to get their way. So, yeah.
So, I mean, Poppy is going to be the interesting case because he will try and sue again. Like, he will do it. He will find some
loophole somewhere. I literally hate that guy.
At this point, I'm done.
As much as I respected him as a player, I'm like, you want to talk about little man syndrome? I mean, come on, bro. I mean, what a... Yeah.
Just how hard is it to be a fun athlete to watch and not be a dirtbag, right? Like, how hard is it? Like, everyone adores you already. Why are you being more of a jerk?
Well, I mean, he's not going to be on scumbag car collectors just yet because he hadn't committed any crimes. But
yet.
Maybe who knows what will happen.
No, I see Mansell, he's not.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so. All right, let's get out of here, folks. Matt, tell everybody Late Night Gamecock Show.
Yeah, fired up for it. Rob and I are going to give some of our national predictions. We're going to have Justin in there to do some national predictions as well. Obviously, we'll be talking about all the fallout from camp, you know, what we picked up, Plenty of Gamecock talk, but also some national stuff there. And then we're gearing up because next week will be SEC and Gamecocks. And before you know it, we'll be, you know, back to our regular scheduled programming where we're going to be breaking down the opponents and what the season holds, all of that. So we're excited. 7 o'clock right here on Chief Sports Network. And you can find us and we'll have a good time. Rob and Justin, I'll all be there.
Be sure to go. The Late Night Gamecock Show has its own podcast page. So go Apple and Spotify for that. Everyone have a wonderful weekend, Gamecock Nation. High school football starts in 2 weeks, so you also want to go get the Four Quarter Friday podcast. They had Aaron Brand from Irmo on and talking jamborees. High school football things are scrimmaging right now. Jamboree starts Monday. There's a Monday night football in Woodruff. You bet your bottom dollar if I were in the state, I'd take my happy butt up from Columbia through Lawrence. I'd stop at the Whiteford's Giant Burger and roll on up to Woodruff, home of Willie Varner, and check that out. But be sure to go to fourquarterfriday.com for all your high school sports coverage. If you're a Big Spur Gamecock Central member, you also get all the content on that site because it's all part of the same network. So,
and then don't forget our 75% off promo. That is a great deal. We talked about it earlier if you missed it, but
in 20 front, years pay, in this business, we've never had a deal like that. So, but it won't last long because it is a good deal. You can't, you can go broke having a deal like that for a long time. But like I said, we want to create value. That's all. So that's what On Three is about. That's what we're about, value. Cause we know things are expensive. I'm about to go to a grocery store, and I'm gravitating more toward Aldi's now.
Yeah.
I used to kind of turn my nose up at it, not anymore.
Aldi's got good stuff, man.
Mm-hmm. That's what that was my mistake. You know, should never have acted like I was too good to shop at Aldi's. Should have never acted like that.
It's okay.
God, I'm stupid. All right, for the Mad Dog, for the Late Night Gamecock, this is the Stupid Man. It's going to Aldi's. Have a good weekend, everybody.
See ya.